but I just love bodybuilding itself. I love to train. I love the feeling of the palm and the sweats and everything. I got second place in 2016, Mr. Kuala Lumpur, but the competitors was just three of them. But yeah, so I'm the second place. So I got third place. I was like, okay, this is, you know what? I'm just going to change federation. So the kind of thing that fighting and happening in my head, I don't know whether it's toxic or what, but this is not trying to brag, yeah, but this is the truth. This is the reality. All the judges put the pen down and just watch like this.
You already know who's going to win.
Yeah.
How many times you have to fail before you see progress? In today's episode, my guest will be sharing his personal journey before becoming the best in the world as an athlete. What's up, guys? It's your brother from another mother, Coach Cam Izzuan. Welcome to episode 49. Before we begin, please like and follow us. Becoming world number one in your category, what does it take to be the best in the world? Please welcome our guest for today, Ashra. What's up, bro?
I'm good. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you very much for allowing me and coming over to the podcast.
Of course, for sure.
Okay, now, many of the viewers and listeners would like to know what does it take to be world number one? And before that, can you share a bit your journey from high school? What kind of sports do you do and what was your interest?
Okay, so basically, from day one, I always been doing bodybuilding since 2011, which is when I was 16 years old. Yeah, so I started in one small gym back then in my hometown, Gym Rakyat, which is the walk-in is 1 ringgit, 2 ringgit, basic equipments, bench press, Smith machine. So I started from there, started taking protein shake here and there, kumpul duit belanja from my parents. And yeah, and then along the way, after I finished my Form 6, which is when I was 19, 20 years old, I applied personal training in Subang Perit back then, 2015, as a personal trainer, as a rookie trainer. So that's how it all started, my bodybuilding journey. And I met my first coach.
Okay, now, what I'm curious about is, how do you know at the age of 16 you want to become a bodybuilder?
Okay, I think when I was 6 years old, it was very, very young age. I used to watch a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, just Terminator, and I saw his physique. It was crazy. I was like, okay, I want to be like him one day. And I always been a skinny type boy when I was young. So, and I get a lot of negative comments from my friends.
Such as
like, oh, you're so skinny, you know, and I'm a lot more bigger than you, you know. So made me feel a little bit insecure about how I feel. And then my family as well. And and then I would like to start bodybuilding because I'm just skinny back then, yeah.
So at the age of six until?
Until, so the story was like the Gym Rakyat in my hometown, it opened back then 2004. And then that time was standard 3 or 4. And I told my dad, can I go to gym? So my father said, no, you can't because you're going to get stunted and you're going to, you know, like this kind of advice from old people, old generation. And then after that, standard 6, I said, can I go to gym? So my father said, no, you can't. And then slowly I go to the gym churi-churi when I was 14 years old. And I'm 14 years old, 15 years old. And after that, 16, I just tell my parents, look, I want to do bodybuilding.
So you went by yourself or was there someone along with you to the gym or?
Oh, it's always been me alone, actually. Just me alone. And then I met a few.
Where do you find this motivation? Like, I want to go to the gym regardless my parents say yes or no. I still want to go to the gym. Is it because at the age of 6, the pain that your friend told you that you're too skinny, you're not going to be big. Where does the motivation come from for you to go to the gym by yourself? And
oh, okay. It's actually besides those negative feedbacks, actually it's not a big issue to me, but I just love to look muscular, big, and you know, with all this round muscle belly. Yeah, it's all like that. It's all about passion, you know, passionate, very passionate with bodybuilding. Yeah.
Okay, so from 16 years old, and when you first started competing?
first time competing Kampung competition back then in Banting. I'm from Banting, by the way. It was 2013. Just denim jeans, like just wear jeans, you know. And then
Mr. Badan Cantik.
Mr. Badan Cantik, yeah, that's right. It was so popular back then. And then first time I joined when I was in Form 6. Well, I wasn't half...
Well, how was the prep?
Yeah, so the prep was like very, very Kampung style. You know, I just like cut off my, you know, foot here and there. I don't know how to do it properly. No, I doesn't have any good coach back then. So just eat like 2 meals, 3 meals, you know, just like that. Simple, yeah.
Duration-wise, your preparation, like, okay, you trained from at age of 16 until Form 6. So what, 3 years? Then you decided just to like, you know what, I'm just going to compete. Or someone say like, you should go give it a go because you look fit. How you get started to compete?
Oh, okay. So back then in gym, right, yeah, the guy who is actually juggle the counter, his name's Ayub. So he's telling me, hey, why don't you try out, you know, since that you got a good physique. Oh, but back then we don't train legs that much. So it's just upper body. And then, because of that guy, he said, just try it out. And then I said, okay, I want to try.
So how long does it take for you to prepare?
It's a couple of months, actually. It's not a proper preparation, by the way.
Was there any expectation?
I thought that I'm going to like, oh, I'm the biggest guy and I'm the most jacked. But actually, I was wrong. Yeah. There's a bigger guy out there during that time, which is... better looking physique, much more ripped, much more well prepared, actually. Yeah.
Okay, so 3-4 months preparation, you participated. What was the placing?
No placing, first competition, yeah. It was bad, actually.
And how do you feel?
I feel like, okay, how? Like, okay, back then I don't have abs, so a lot of people was like, hey, you have nice structure, you know, V-shape. They call it V-shape. And then they said, you have to work on your abs. So I was like, I keep training my abs. I've been doing a lot of crunches, but it just doesn't appear, you know?
Right.
It's because, I mean, mainly because now I'm a lot more well-educated. So which means I have to cut off my calorie intake, you know, eating less calorie, less carbs in order for me to build that solid abs, you know? So, yeah.
Right. Okay. So... the reason why I ask this question, because I want to understand better what inspired you to keep going, even though you step on stage, then you go back down. Basically, you just waste your time for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You gain experience, which clearly I understand. Okay, you've experienced that part. What made you pursue further?
So it's always been the love of the sport, you know, like, I can't play football, and not because I can't play, but I just don't have the interest in football, badminton, and like my other friends, they are playing basketball. So I just love bodybuilding itself. I love to train. I love the feeling of the pump and the sweats and everything. So I just want to try and to see how far that I can go, you know, like how to the fullest maximum potential of my physique, how far can I go? So that's the reason why I keep going, you know.
Okay.
Yes.
Then from your hometown, when did you come over?
Oh, so 2015 from my hometown, I ulang alik from Banting to Subang in Celebrity Fitness. That back then it was in Subang Parade. That's right. It's the biggest Celebrity Fitness back then, and then it's very famous. There's a lot of bodybuilders there. And then I was like, I met my first coach, which is Farul Sobri. He's one of the good athletes as well. He's still competing. So I met him, and then I told him, I said, look, I want to become Mr. Selangor. So he looked at me, he's like, kau tak ada kaki lah. Which is just true. I mean, no offense taken, you know.
As a bodybuilder or as a men's physique?
As a bodybuilder. So, yeah. So, I was like, kotada kaki. So, I was like, okay, train me then. And then I've been following him for a couple of months, you know. And then we become a training partner. And then he teach me the real way of bodybuilding training style, hypertrophy. So, yeah.
So, describe to me your first experience training hypertrophy.
So, first time... I've been training hypertrophy since 16, but It's just very basic. So first time when he gave me the first program, which is shoulder, I still remember he asked me to do reverse pec deck for 50 reps, which is, I never done 50 reps. I don't know, maybe he tried to bully me or he just tried to derail me or what. I just keep doing 50 reps and I barely can do dumbbell shoulder press. Then that particular time, I was like, okay, this is very good exposure for me for bodybuilding journey and career. So, right. Yeah.
Then after how many months you start competing in SS Lung?
So it was after a few months and then I quit Celebrity Fitness. So I go back to my hometown. I couldn't reach out to him. And he was busy with competition. And then I hire a coach here and there, but it's just the chemistry wasn't there. And I decided to go back to him and I pay him as my proper coach, not as a, what do you call a training partner. So I buy like a big package, like 100 session, which is cheap price. He gave me friend price, you know. So ended up, I competed in junior 2016 in Mr. Kuala Lumpur, actually.
Okay.
Which is, I didn't place well. And again, I don't understand the fundamental of the proper diet, the strict diet. Training was always been okay for me. It's always been like, you know, no problem for me, no issues. But dieting, it was like, okay, I can't take it, the strict diet, actually. When I was young, I give a lot of excuses.
So when you say you can't take diet, what do you mean? It's hard for you to follow or certain eating approach doesn't work?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I can't follow it, you know? Like, when my coach said, cut off your carbs, just eat, you know, like those old school type of chicken breast, broccoli, you know? And then I was like, what? Really? Back then, when I was back to my story where I compete in the competition kampong, where I still eating nasi campur and everything, and like, okay, I look okay. So it was like, okay, I failed and I didn't get placing. So that was the challenge, actually, which is I couldn't follow the strict diet. Yeah.
Okay. So the transition from nasi campur to eating boiled chicken, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And boiled broccoli. How do you manage to do the transition? And when you adopted that new eating habit?
So eventually, I follow maybe 75%. So 75% is still, you still can see result, but it's not going to be 100% as you follow a strict diet, you know?
So for Mr. KL, roughly how many percent?
You mean 2016? Yeah. I think it was like only like 60 to 50%, you know?
Reason?
Yeah, reason because first is I'm not mature enough to understand the fundamental of it. Second is a bit manja, you know, like, oh, tak nak makan ni, tak nak makan tu, you know, like it's pampered to pampered. Right. You know, I don't understand.
You anak bongsu ke, bro?
Second. Interesting. Yeah. So giving a lot of excuses, and then I thought bodybuilding was easy, and suddenly I can become Ronnie Coleman. So I would say the maturity of it is not there yet. Oh, I mean, I'm talking about my mentality.
Okay, then how long does it take for you to adopt this new eating habit?
And then, after 2016, I try again 2017. Okay, that's a progression, which is I follow like 70%, 80%, but still fail. Sometimes I got cheat a little bit here and there, miss my meal, you know. I couldn't eat this food, tastes like, you know, bland, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so I got second place in 2016, Mr. Kuala Lumpur, but the competitors was just three of them.
Right.
You know, it's just, yeah.
By default.
But yeah, so I'm the second place, you know, and then the third place another guy. So I thought that, it's a big winning because, but then that time I still have no abs. And then my coach keeps saying that, hey, you have to, you know, do your cardio and then stick to your diet. I know that you're not following the diet plan. So, you know, still not mature, gadu here, gadu there, say, oh, no, I follow, but actually I'm lying to him, you know. And then, yeah, that's the story. And then 2018, I was completely by my own, where then only I realized that, there's no coach, nobody want to help me, you know. It's time for me to get up and follow the real way, which is I follow 100% the real way of bodybuilding diet. Yeah, and then I competed in Mr. Kuala Lumpur again for the third time, and I get second place in light heavyweight, and I very, very thankful to Iwan Setiawan, which is, he was one of the committee in Kuala Lumpur Bodybuilding Federation. So he brought me into Mr. Malaysia because he sees my potentials. First time competing in Mr. Malaysia in 2018. Yeah, it was another new chapter for me.
There was a what category?
Light heavyweight.
So about 85, 90.
85 to 90, that's right, okay. Yeah.
Okay, during that period, when you first compete in that category, was that the first time you competed in that category?
That was the second time.
Second time, yeah. Okay. What were you doing? Were you still studying? Were you working?
Since 20 years old, when I told you 2015, I stopped studying as a student. So after Form 6, so I just worked since 20 years old until now. I'm taking all the certifications as a, what do you call, NASM and a small certification. That's all.
Okay. Now this is where people want to hear. How do you manage your time as a trainer and then as an athlete?
Well, it was tough, actually. It's very challenging.
During that period.
So during that time, I will wake up very early to do my cardio, which is, I love to do fasted cardio. So I will have another gym membership, which is very close by from my house in Subang Jaya I stay. So I still go to Celebrity Fitness, paying membership, and do my cardio, come back home, cook, meal prep for the rest of the day, and then I will rush to my new workplace, which is in Etria Mall. I work in Chi Fitness as a trainer. And then after I train client, in between, if I have 2 hours gap, I would straight change my clothes and train, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. And if I tak puas hati, my client come early ke apa, tak puas the pump, you know? And then I will sambung balik after the gym almost closing, you know? So I just do like 2-3 sessions in the day when I was young. Yeah. Well, the injuries is still, you don't feel it, you know? That time you was young, 23 years old, 22 years old, still keep going. So yeah, that's the challenge.
How about your social life?
Well, I'm very introvert, you know? Well, being a personal trainer, of course, you have to do a lot of talking, you know, do a lot of, you have to service your client, but actually inside of me is I'm very, very introvert. I don't go out, I'm drinking with my friends, you know, I don't mix out in a club. Yeah, so
that's easy lah. Why I ask this question also, because the listener and viewer, for sure, many of them wants to achieve a certain standard of physique. So they assume to be like a bodybuilder, it's just like, you just train, just diet, then you still can continue your social life.
100%, yeah.
So I just want you to share, like, because you are an athlete, so your lifestyle is different compared to a general person like me, still socialized. So I want people to listen to that part. To sacrifice, to be an athlete, you have to sacrifice in many ways. Okay. Then you competed, you trained Mr. Malaysia. What happened?
So, first time went to Mr. Malaysia, that is the first time ever that I've seen the contingent from the army, you know, police, and those big boys from Borneo, from Labuan. Yeah, they have different type of genetics there. And
different breed.
Yeah, different breed, they're beasts. So I was like, oh my God. It's like, shit. Like,
especially their legs.
Yeah, their legs and their shoulder, they're so huge and they look very intimidating. I was like, oh my God, okay, I can't beat them. And I was so skinny, and even though my weight is 88, 89, because I have a huge legs, but my top is still needs a lot of improvement, you know, to be in open category in bodybuilding. So yeah, I was like overwhelming, and then I didn't get any placing and just stand on the stage for 5-10 minutes, and after that the judges said, okay, thank you so much, please try again next time. And I feel like, oh, is that it? It's like, oh my God. So it was very devastating to me, for me. But well, I did cry when I go back home. It was in Malacca, so I drove back to Subang. I cried because I, oh, it's so hard. How?
Did you expect to have a placing or what?
At least, yeah, you were right. At least I was expecting maybe 5th place, paling-paling busuk, right? Huh? 5th or 4th, but no, man, like none. Kosong, zero. So go back home, cry like a, you know, like a child. And then, of course, I man up after that. And then I start back my training and I competed again for the last time before the lockdown.
Right.
Yeah, which is 2019. I compete for Mr. Kuala Lumpur in light heavyweight. I look much more bigger, much more slightly mature, but still not that lean. And this And that time, okay, you can see apps, full package, but not link. So I got third place. I was like, okay, this is, you know what? I'm just going to change federation. Yeah. So that's the truth. So for...
Wait, hold on. Yeah. I want to understand that. But when you say change federation, what, because of what?
The reason why I want to change the federation, because I was thinking like, just change the new environment, you know, to see new athletes.
So initially it was coming BBF, like, and this is bodybuilding federation. So you think it's because of the federation or what?
No, nothing wrong with the federation. I know the federation is quite proper and fair, the way how they judge. It's just because, simply is because of myself, I want to change direction actually.
I see. Okay, so step out, start focusing on WFF, am I right?
Oh, that time I didn't know about WFF. So I was planning to join Man of Steel actually. And it was IBB Pro Qualifier. So I was like thinking like, okay, I'm going to do a very massive off-season and get bulk, you know, fat.
Okay, describe that part. I understand the part, bulking part, but the general viewer and listener would like to know, like, okay, how do you plan to bulk up? Because general point of view is just eat as much as you want and get fat.
Yeah, yeah.
And so describe your journey bulking up.
So back then, when I wanted to prepare for Man of Steel, I mean, that time, the bulking up means I'm eating, the ratio of the carbs means more than my protein. So I've been gas up all the carbs. Even in for my breakfast, I will eat like maybe dua pinggan of nasi, and then maybe one portion of chicken. Right. And then a lot of, I do a lot of cheat meals back then, a lot of burgers. And then I thought that it will be convert to muscle. And when I realized that, oh shit, I'm getting fatter.
Right.
Yeah. And I still, I question myself, okay, do I really know the real fundamental of bodybuilding, you know? Oh. So, okay, it's okay. I just keep on doing. I was the heaviest ever that I've been, which is 114 kilogram.
Before you bulk up, what was the weight?
Oh, it was, it was just 89, 90 kilo.
So about what, 12 kilos?
7 yeah.
kilos of K?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, dirty bulk. Yeah, dirty bulk. Very bad for health. After that, MCO hits.
Mm.
Oh, I was like, what? I've been bulking so long. I'm huge now.
Right.
So what I'm going to do, you know, at home? So again, feel so down, sad. And I decide to retire to compete.
What?
Yeah.
Because of MCO?
MCO, it makes me, it really makes me think that, okay, there's no longer bodybuilding. Maybe I shouldn't be thinking about bodybuilding. Bodybuilding will, you know, you require you a lot of sacrifice in terms of your food. You know, spend a lot of money on food, spend a lot of money on supplements, and, you know, hours of training. So I said, no more, it's okay. I'll just be a PT, cari duit, you know, cari makan, survive, you know, so... Yeah, that was the story until 2022. MCO was lifted almost 100%. And I just okay, I won't compete anymore. Until one of my friend, she said, hey, why don't you start competing? And I was like, start competing? I said, yeah, you should start competing. I was like, okay. So then only I go back home, I go through all the competition that I want to compete. So I found WFF, which is that time they have Battle of Titans 2.0. And then after that, they have Battle of Titans 3.0 for 2022. So I saw the stage was pretty good, not too shabby. And then the competitors was good, you know. I saw Manlong was there. He was good. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I could compete with Manlong, you know, because he is good. But yeah, so I joined WFF 2022.
Yeah.
And I got fourth place.
Okay, before we go there.
Okay.
I assume you were depressed during COVID.
Exactly.
Everybody go through that phase. They feel they have an expectation that shit's happened. I'm not what I'm going to do. Okay, we all experienced that during COVID. Then your friend lifted you out, suggested for you to compete. Okay. How do you actually get started back? Because you've lost your motivation. How do you actually start that back? With that amount of weight, you stopped training for almost 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, so it's a bit personal, that, which is I don't mind to share, actually. So 2022, I just broke up from my 7 years long relationship. Yeah, which is, I've been, you know, with her for 7 years, so it was a long time ago. And then I was feeling like, oh, there's nothing left, you know, like, okay, what else that I want to do? So I was lost, and then I was thinking like, yeah, why not? Let's try again one more time, you know, maybe I could get some luck. And that time also mentally I was mature to understand about, okay, this time no more manja manja, don't want to eat this, want to eat that. You're gonna do it properly. So that was the motivation, actually.
Okay, I'm gonna go deeper a bit there, because I'm gonna relate my story with you also.
Okay.
So heartbroken after 7 years. Mine was 2 years only. Okay, here's 7 years. I wanna know, after you found out whatever happens. Okay, for sure there was moment of you like, oh my god, why me? Okay.
Yeah.
How long does it take for you to fully recover and restart again a new life? Like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to focus myself.
Okay.
How long does it take for you to fully recover and start focusing on training and nutrition?
It was pretty quick, actually. It was the same year where I just broke up with her. So I always been very determined to do something. And then, well, it's actually I just deleted everything and don't think about it so much. So that's is me. Like, if I have something and I just shut it off and, okay, start over again. But of course, it affected me pretty bad, actually, to think about all the pain and all the, you know.
You tried to do something stupid?
No, I didn't. Okay. I never do that, yeah.
I was wondering. I didn't do that, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah. So, I always been, always think about myself first, put myself as a priority, so I don't do something stupid.
Okay, like that. So after how many months that you like just 100% focus on nutrition and exercise?
After 4 to 5 months, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, 4 to 5 months.
So I'm just going to relate a bit of my story here.
Okay.
I think it was 24. Competed, junior, one small competition, blah, blah, blah. I found out my earlier ex did something. She had someone else for about 6 months. Yeah, so I found out and I confronted both of them. And I asked them, you know what? Okay, I'm going to give you time to do whatever you want. And after 3 months, tell me the choice, who you're going to pick. After 3 months, she played me. She said, like, you know what? Give me more time. And I fuck you, you're wasting my time now. Okay? After that moment, I start focusing again with nutrition and exercise.
Okay.
And because of that, I forget everything about her, just focus on training. And that's when I won my first competition. Usually I got 5th place or 6th place, but that was the year Mr. KL, I won 2nd place.
Oh, okay.
And after that year, I flew to Melbourne to further my studies. Actually, I was running away from her because she started to find me back.
Oh.
Yes.
You won, right?
Yeah. Not that, it's because, anyway, I'm going to tell the entire world. And there's a woman here, can acknowledge if I'm right or wrong, okay? When they feel they're not wanted anymore, they want you back when you have a bigger goal. So I believe it's because she felt that I used to be hot, but suddenly you do not want me. You have to acknowledge that I'm still hot. That's my assumption.
For sure.
My assumption, huh?
Yeah.
So, she keep finding me. Annoy my life, and I start focusing on training until to a point I don't know where to go. I have to go to Australia to further my study to run away from her.
Okay.
Apparently, she got promoted to be a cabin crew that can fly to Melbourne, and she find me every 3 weeks.
Okay.
So that annoys me. But long story short, that was my previous story. It took me about 3 months to change my life. Why I want to touch on this topic is because there are people that I consulted. They want to change their lives because of physical appearance. But when this kind of thing happens to them, they lost the momentum. They lose the motivation. And I told them, just take 2 to 3 months to refocus to yourself and build back your life.
Yeah.
Because there are men out there, when things like this happen, they feel that their life means nothing at all.
Exactly, yeah.
But for you, about 4 months.
Yeah.
For me, about 3 months lah. So men out there, if shit like this happen, you should only put 4 months to grief.
Or less.
Or less. And that's just a day. Ke menangis, just take that period of time, no longer than 4 months. Or else you're kind of useless as a man. Jangan sakit hati. I'm just saying. I'm just telling my personal experience and this personal experience. Okay, after 4 months, you refocus yourself, you train again. How long does it take for you to step on stage?
After 4 months, after that, it was a very short period of preparation, actually. The competition was December. So I prepared since, I think, maybe June.
Right.
Yeah, for 2 years. Tak compete for 2 years, actually.
So in total, how many months?
It was 8 months.
So we did 8 months. Okay, so you were 104 kilos before that?
Oh, so after that, I lost. I lose weight a little bit. So I started, my starting weight was 105.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you competed on stage at?
90 each.
Okay, approximately 10 kilos.
10 kilo loss, yeah.
10 kilo within 8 months. Okay, share with us the journey.
So, okay, again, that time, self-prep, no coach, researching from many sources, you know, about low-carb diet, you know, all this high-fat diet. So I try many, many ways, actually. So one thing that I do is, that time I have membership in Anytime Fitness, and I do Stairmaster every single day.
Wow.
Yeah, starting half an hour. Towards the end of the bodybuilding competition, I'll shoot up to 60 minutes every day, Stairmaster. So 60 minutes of Stairmaster. After that, go back home, eat my breakfast, eat my second meal. And after that, I train for 1.5 to 2 hours. And then, yeah.
Do you know at that period of time, what was your body fat? Like when you feel, I had.
Back then in Union Strength, I mean, I'm still working in Union Strength. So Union Strength had in body. So my body fat was, I mean, on the stage, it was 5%.
Okay, before that, when you first started?
First started about 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. It was 80%, yeah.
Okay. Then prep, step on the stage, and you managed to get number four. Nice.
Yeah.
So from there, what happened?
So, well, again, I saw the first place. Well, he's pretty big. And then his top was bigger than me. But I saw, like, oh, the legs. Compared to mine, you know, like mine is a lot more sharper. And then the second place, I was like, okay, he got a nice shape. He got a nice shoulder, but he's smaller than me. So third place, he's much bigger than me, but it's not that cut. So, I mean, this is my, of course, you will be biased to yourself and you think that you look the best, right? So I straight away contacted the president of the Federation, which is Michael Poe. I asked him, why did I get fourth place? So he explained to me in details that he said, you have the size, but you need to get more cut, you know, more rip. You're not rip enough, you know. I was feeling a bit disappointed and I feel a bit mad. I was like, okay, you know that how much effort that I do. You know, I came from 2 years of no competition. I mean, they don't care.
Right. So,
and I was like, okay, next year I'll make sure that no one can ever... tell me that, okay, you're not ripped, you're not big, so I'll really, really make a big transformation and big comeback, you know. So I hired Isaac Wong as my bodybuilding coach. That's how I met Isaac Wong.
Okay.
Yeah.
And share that journey.
So first time when I met Isaac Wong, and I have a logbook,
right,
and then I gave to Isaac my logbook, and then he checked my logbook, and then he said, first thing that come out from his mouth, he said, not too shabby. Then I look at him, I'm like, yeah, what do you mean by not too shabby? I said, you're right, not too shabby as a person where doesn't hire any coach.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. And then he selak-selak the buku, and after that, okay, here's the thing. I'm going to clean up your diet method, and also I'm going to teach you how to train properly back to basic. Because back then, I do a lot of machines, a lot of cables, so he said, No, you're not going to do that. You're going to do a lot of compound movement. So I start feel, okay, toga dini, bajib ke, and okay lah, layan je lah. And then he gave me all the diet. Very simple, simple.
Rachel, I want to stop here.
Yeah.
When you say liar and jala, where do you get this trust?
Well, okay. Oh, yeah. So, forgot to tell you about that. So, basically, 4 years ago, when I still trained in Anytime Fitness, one of my close friends, which is Paul Dillon, said that you should hire a coach. I said, who's the coach? I said, which is Isaac Wong. So I look at Isaac Wong and said, nah, I'm not.
Wasn't like convincing.
Yeah, I'm not going to hire him. And he said, why? He's smart. Do you know who's his uncle? I said, who's his uncle?
Wong.
Wong Hong. He's not his uncle, you know?
Yeah.
Second time, which is Zoe is my friend. Zoe, she's competing as well. And I asked her, who's your coach? She said, Isaac Wong. I said, okay. Well, I trust her. And she's you know, she's a European, and then she, I mean, you know, Westerners, they don't simply hire a coach, you know. Second time, which is Sham, is also a bikini competitor. She's looking so good. Her, she's ripped, she's cut. Then I think on Instagram, his post, her post, coached by Isaac Wong. Okay, I'm going to call this guy. I'm going to really call this guy. So I text him, say, hey, I heard a lot of things about you. Can we meet?
Right.
And they reply, lambat. That's the body reply. Hey, just woke up. Let me make my coffee and I get back to you.
Right.
Okay lah. And then we met in Wan Utama. So that's how I hand over my logbook and everything.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to touch on this part there. Banyak orang kat luar sana, they choose trainer just based on physical appearance. And I understand, I was one of them also. My coach must be shredded or massive or even a competitor. Again. So that's why I asked this question, where do you get the trust? Because you've seen he has great testimonials. Again. For those out there who's looking for coaches and trainer, physical appearance shows their hard work and dedication. But at the same time also, my tips is if you want to find a good coach, you look at their clients. So if they got a lot of clients, then they're doing a very, very good job. So congrats to you. For those looking for trainers, carilah dia kat mana. Okay? Okay, kita sambung.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Then, Isaac helped you for how long before you stepped on stage again?
Isaac helped me. We started just nicely in January 2023 until my competition was 11th of December.
10 months lah.
Yeah.
Okay, within that 10
months. But January to, it's actually 12 months actually.
Okay, 12 months. So during that period, within that 12 months, what was the biggest obstacle you faced following a program someone that created for you?
The biggest obstacles has always been the nutrition part, where he put me under a very strict diet, probably 3 months out, because he said I'm quite fat. I hold a lot of body fats around my midsections. So, well, he put me in zero carbs for 5 days to 6 days in a week. And on Sunday, I can eat malanta, all the carbs, but clean sauce, yeah, sushis and a lot of white rice.
Nice.
So I was like, oh shit, okay. Or first, okay, whatever it takes, I pay him and everything, I will trust him, you know. But sometimes I do text him and say, hey, do you think it's
working?
Yeah, is it working? I'm dying now here, man. He said, no, you just follow. So slowly, I see the result. Like, hey, I can see my abs, I can see veins. I said, okay, this guy's legit, but of course you suffer, you know. 6 days, zero carbs, completely no carbs. I mean, you will have a bit of vegetables here and there, so vegetables consider. There's a carbs in it, but...
Hawks, kids up. Okay, for those out there, what Ashraf is sharing is his personal journey, yeah? Jangan copy-paste. Even his coach told him that this is for you. So that doesn't mean that I want to become like Ashraf, I follow him.
That's right.
So just be careful lah. Jangan tiba-tiba zero carbs and you experience hypoglycemia. Like, jangan jadi gila.
Exactly.
Okay? Continue.
And then, I jadi gila juga lah at that time. And then after that, close to the competitions, you will be stricter and stricter. And then after that, you do all the basic stuff.
Did you expect that you're going to become a pro?
Actually, no. I didn't expect for me to become a pro, you know? Because this, I mean, at least this is me. I always have a self-doubt. I always think that, oh, this must be a better guy out there would defeat me. You know, all this kind of fear, you know? So I never expect that I will earn a pro card. But then, placings-wise, top three, yes, I do. Yeah, I was truly confident.
after winning the pro, what runs into your mind?
Of course, overwhelm. You know, if you feel like top of the world, okay, you're the champ and everything. Everyone start to follow you. Everyone start to talk to you, you know. So the dudes and the chicks that I mean, chicks, not chicks in general, but competitors, you know, that are very good, started following me. Okay, I mean, all right, they want to be my friend. It's okay, let's go. And then after that, yeah, it was just purely overwhelmed, you know. Yeah, that's what I felt at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then after that, did you also plan for the pro qualifier? Because
I won a pro qualifier. And
okay, you won a pro qualifier. Did you actually, you know what? I've already won. I think I'm going to give it a go. Or did you plan like I'm going to have a short break?
Oh, yeah. At that time, my coach was advising me. He said, Ash, don't stop. Keep competing. I didn't know what to do, actually. I have no direction. So you feel kind of lost. So for every athlete, I mean, at least for me, when you doesn't have any, what I call, future goal, a future plan, you might feel like a bit much lost. Yeah, so I'm thankful that I have my coach, my friends, and everyone that we said, hey, you should go for it for another one. So what happened was, When they issued my pro card, which is from the world president of WFF, which is Mr. Graham, so he looked at me and he said, this type of physique that we're looking for, which is small waist, X frame, and we don't want those bubble guts, you know? And then I was like, okay, thank you so much. And then he said, why don't you try compete for Mr. Universe next year in Las Vegas? Then I was like, oh, really? I was like, okay, I want to do that. He said, yeah, you should. I'll see you there, okay? And then so he issued my pro card. So I told my coach, hey, I want to do Mr. Universe in Las Vegas.
Right.
So he said, yeah, you know, let's try. And then you should compete as well. So that's how we started, you know, 2024 Mr. Universe prep. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to share a bit my personal journey also.
All right.
So in Melbourne, I was studying. At the same time, I was competing. Okay. In IMBA, a natural show. So I know I'm going to get good placing because I'm going to compete under novice. So higher expectation lah. Can all newbie competing, even though I've already competed in Malaysia. I won my novice and I won my class. I won overall. So I was Mr. Melbourne 2011. However, this is what I'm going to relate. You mentioned that when you do not have a long-term goal, you're lost. So in my mind, I want to be the best. I won. I became the best. Then I stopped everything.
Oh.
I was at 68 kilo, I think about 7% body fat. Then I was eating until I gained up to 85 kilos within a week. So all the edema, water retention is everywhere. Then I become so sluggish. I become so lazy to work, so lazy to train. And I was planning, actually, when they say you won your category, that state, you should try Universe. Because Universe was a couple months, few months after that in Sydney. Then I thought I know what I'm doing, but I didn't know. I gained so much weight, I decided to free. Then I stopped competing. So I 100% agree. When you only plan to just compete there, once you win, you don't know what else to do.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one of the reasons why I like to ask questions, what's next? What are you planning? Because there are certain guys, I don't know, I mean a world champion. So, my next guest, I wouldn't bring in. He already won the world champion. I asked the same question. So, I'm waiting for him to come over. I asked him, what's next?
Yeah, yeah. Who is he?
Zamaro.
Zamaro Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
I exhibited him.
Before, right?
Last year. Same month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The bro. That's why I want to ask him, like, he already won, number one already in the world. What's next?
Exactly.
Okay. Back to you. Okay. You prep for the Universe. So expectation for Universe?
Oh, expectation for Universe. Again, like, okay, kali ni kita tapau lah sapu semua. Like, yeah.
This sounds very overconfident. Why?
Yeah. So, well, overconfident is because I have my coach beside me, and the more year going on, and then the trust that we built is even more stronger. The bond is even more stronger, and the game plan is always changed, you know, it's always improving. Well, even though this is again me, right? Even though I would say, okay, macam tadi I cakap, okay, tapau lah sapu. Tapi there's another inner voice said, boleh ke? This is America, man. Do you know who's gonna come?
Right.
And another voice was saying, ah, I'm the most ripped guy. I'm the most cut guy, you know? So the kind of thing that fighting and happening in my head, you know? So I don't know whether it's toxic or what, but it's okay. I just keep going. And then it was a lonely journey. Last year, I prepped with one of my friend, Wailam. Now Wailam is no longer working with us. And then, well, I do by myself. So, and of course, there's supervision by my coach. Yeah.
Okay.
And then.
Then you compete?
So after prep and everything, so on. And so first we landed in Las Vegas. Okay, was tired. First time in States. And after that, many things happened. I lost my backpack. The Uber guy took my backpack inside, got my medication, my very important part besides passport, which is my posing trunk that I ordered from Hoshiko. So it's gone. I'm like, what are we gonna do? So bantai je lah, beli kat Amazon. And after that, okay, and then I was 88 kilogram, which is still in a bodybuilding category, which is open. So Michael Poe called me, which is the president of WFF Malaysia. He called me, hey, I've seen big guys out there, huge guy. They are from United Kingdom. They are from everywhere. Why don't you drop your body weight to 84, which is that time I was 88 kilo.
How many days before?
It was like only 5 days left. And it's like, why don't you drop your body weight and get into a classic category?
Right.
I was so angry. I was like so mad. I was like, what? You think it's easy? It's like, oh, and I straight away called my coach. I called my coach. I said, Isaac, what do you think? So I said, let's do it. He's like, okay. So that's why he was worried as well that I'm competing in the open because it's international show, my first pro debut. And then he, of course, expectation for coach is always win the big W, right? And then, okay, so strict diet. Every day, wake up, go to grocery, do like 20,000-30,000 steps a day. Only protein, asparagus. Protein, asparagus, beef, asparagus. Beef, asparagus. That's all I eat for the rest 5 to 6 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you managed to reduce your weight from 88 to 84.
84.
4 kilos.
Yeah.
Okay. Jangan follow. That one's about terdesak and terpaksa.
Yeah. Okay. Suicide.
Then after that?
Then after that, Isaac told me 2 days before, stop drinking water. I'm like, what? Said, no water for you because you're going to hold out a lot of liquid in your body. So I was like, oh, damn, this is so suffering, you know? But then again, overwhelmed in the United States, was so happy, you know? And then, but at the same time, suffering, yet we're suffering. So the weather there was cool and dry. So literally, you're not sweating. Everything is dry, your skin dry, your lips is dry. Tak minum air, lagi lah dry, ultra dry. And then my face, like, literally like macam tengkorak, like that. So this is really crazy. The shredded that I've ever been, shredded condition that I've ever been in my life.
Then you step on stage.
So, step on stage, I can see all the judges. This is not trying to brag, yeah, but this is the truth. This is the reality. All the judges put the pen down and just watch like this.
You already know who's going to win.
Yeah, they literally like put down the pen and they just watch me for 1 minute pose, 2 minute pose. And after that, comparison, it was very quick pro lineup. It was four or five of them. For classic, it's a new category for WFF. Right, front pose, side, back, mandatory pose, and they gave me first place and overall.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have created the standard.
Exactly.
So they want the standard of physique to be exactly like you.
That's right. Yeah.
Because usually classic physique is very lean, can.
Small waist.
Small waist. Yeah. Now you like belly, small waist, which good luck. And that's their standard. Okay. You won. Did you expect that?
Again, actually, I didn't know what I'm going to expect. When I reached the venue, I saw the Aussies was big. There's another big black guy was huge. he's thick, his shoulder as big as my head. Then I was like, okay, you know what? Tawakal je lah. Layan je lah.
Right.
Yeah.
After you won, what was the first thing that you do? Apart from calling your coach, hey, guess what? I won. Okay, apart from that.
First thing that I do, so you mean after go down to the stage?
Yeah.
I got a 2 liter of Gatorade. Powerade.
Powerade.
Yeah, dua botol terus minum. Because 2 hari tak minum air, kering. Yeah, so that's what I did first time. Yeah.
Didn't experience any cramping or...
Actually, I experienced a very slight cramping on my toes. So I start to rasa macam, okay, it's not good. And then we supplement a lot of potassium, magnesium, zinc, and calcium as well, which is easy access in United States back then. I mean, when I was in US, so yeah.
Okay. Stepped down, drank water, came back to Malaysia a couple of days after that. Then what do you have you gained from that? Not from the competition, being number one in the world in your category, representing Malaysia. So this will be somewhat personal. If you want to share, you can share. You don't want to share,
that's fine. Yeah.
So what have you gained from winning the title for Malaysia in America? As a pro.
What did I learn? So that's a one interesting story that I would like to share with my fellow Malaysians. So in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, in Monkiara, in Hatamas, I thought that I'm the most sado. I'm the most biggest guy. You know, like, okay, jalan dekat Pasar Malam, pakai singlet, paling besar. So I always wanted to go Dragon Slayer, which is in Las Vegas, owned by Flex Lewis.
Okay.
First time I went inside, My knees literally shaking. I seen the guys are so huge. And I saw Flex Lewis for the first time. His forearm as big as my thighs. Yeah, I was like shaking. My knees are shaking. And I was like, whoa, this is just too much things going on. And then, well, I met Nick Walker for the first time. He's so huge. So, tepat pada masanya. And I met, that time Mr. Olympia just finished 3 days after that. I met Keon. He just won 2-1-2 Mr. Olympia. And then I was like, I want to take a picture with Keon. So I went to Keon. First thing that he said to me, without saying hi, what, he said, brother, you look very good. Where are you from?
Wow.
I said, I'm from Malaysia. Malaysia, you look good. Are you men physique? I was like, am I men physique? I was like, oh my God. And then the wife was saying, wow, you're looking good, shredded, complete. You got legs too, you know? And then she said, take out your shirt now. Right now? I said, yeah, take out your shirt. I posed in front of us. So I took out my shirt. I start to pose and everything. Everyone was watching.
Right.
And she's like, classic physique, not quite there yet.
Right.
Men physique in IVB, maybe, yeah.
Wow.
I learned that one thing. I am the smallest guy in the United States in bodybuilding industry. That's what I learned.
It humbles me.
Humbles me, yeah, humbles me. Second is, what I learned is, compare, I mean, sorry to say, but In America, in the gym scene, everyone very supportive towards each other, no matter where you are from. So it doesn't matter your skin color, you're brown, you're white, you're Asian, you're yellow. They will come to you, even though the professional, even the 2 times Mr. Olympia will come to you and say, bro, you look good. Where are you from? They support each other. I mean, sorry to say, when I come back home here, a little bit toxic environment that I can sense where siapa brother tu,
yeah,
so gila, you know, they start to like try to like be in Chinese say kiasu, you know, they want to compete, you know, so there's no orang kata sense of keakraban, right?
The bonding
there's no, it's not there. So that's what I learned, actually, the very important value besides being huge, besides being number one in the world or be number one in Malaysia, the bond itself to support. Well, bodybuilding is a lonely sport, they call it, individual sports, but the bonding is not there.
Okay, I'm going to add on it. I have to agree and disagree. Okay, I agree. In Malaysia, it's not as supportive as abroad. Because back in Australia, when I won my competition, even during my competition prep, everybody was cheering for me, even though they do not know me.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like, where are you from? Malaysia. Good legs, good back, you know. And I was competing. Number 88, you will win. I was like, what the fuck? You don't make a lot of friends, even though you don't know anybody. That's the agree part. I agree that there are crowd out there. dislike us maybe because like, why are you training here? Why are you so big? That kind of feeling lah. I have to disagree also, maybe because we were mixing with the wrong community. If we train at the right gym, contohnya lah, Shukri punya gym apa?
One more rep.
If you train there, everybody gonna like you.
Of course, yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
So that's the right crowd lah. But we cannot find this kind of crowd everywhere.
Exactly.
Especially if you're in a commercial gym. Then you'll be attracted to them like, what is this dude here? You shouldn't be here. You should be training somewhere else.
That's right, yeah.
So I have to agree and at the same time also disagree. And also, competitive sports, regardless of powerlifting, bodybuilding, it is a lonely sport. But you have to find a friend or a community so you enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Okay. Have any of Malaysian news or TV approach you and, you know, greet you because you represent Malaysia and being number one?
Let me think. That you mean like face-to-face or DM?
Regardless, they invite you, kata, hey, thank you for representing Malaysia, becoming number one, putting Malaysia's name on the map.
I mean, besides all my sponsorship, you know, bosses, I would say stranger, that the person that I tak kenal is actually you. You are the first person, actually, yeah, that who invited me to come. Yeah, and to come to have this podcast. And then you're the one that said, thank you, we're proud of you, that you put Malaysia in the map. So you are the first person, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Because I know it's not easy.
That's right.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to touch a bit on this part. You can agree, disagree, you can give your comment. So this is my assumption. Okay, there's so many people winning competition. So they choose probably the most following people, probably the most active people in social media. Because when I won my first competition in Melbourne, nobody knows me. I have to contact the media to tell them, hey, look, I've won for Malaysia in Melbourne. Are you going to acknowledge me? Why I say that is because there's so many athletes out there who would want to bring Malaysian name abroad. But it's either Malaysian doesn't appreciate us, or is it the media think our sport is less attractive?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the guests I invited, I think was, he's world number one for stackline.
Oh, okay.
World number one. He have to approach people to tell them that he's world number one. Even I don't know until someone in my social media say, hey, that dude is world number one. I went, really? I contacted him like, bro, come over to my podcast and share. So he shared, he's number one. So this is where most athletes will start thinking, okay, I'm going to spend a lot of money on supplement and training and coaches. I have to go abroad to compete to be world number one. But is it worth it? Now, my question to you, is it worth it to become an athlete with all this hard work and dedication to be number one for you?
Mm. For sure, it's worth it for myself because my real attention and my, like Malay said, nawai tu you sendiri is actually you do bodybuilding not to impress people, you know, not to get popularity. Tapi kenapa I do this is because one is because of the love of the sport. I do it because of myself. Number two is all about, I don't know whether we would call vain or what. It's all about me. You know, I never think about, I do this because I want to attract the media in Malaysia. Or second, I want to be the most popular guy among all the girls. So then they will come to me and DM me. I never think like that. It's always about me. So I heard you, what you say just now. And I don't blame the Malaysia punya media where they don't acknowledge me. True enough, because I'm not famous. And I don't mix up with those people that who is actually close to media, you know? Yeah. So I don't blame Malaysian media or all these people, actually. Yeah. It's always been my personal goal, actually.
Okay. The reason kenapa I tanya ni bukan nak pinpoint nak kata media tak support us ke apa. Sometimes when you share our story, we feel appreciated.
That's right.
Because all the athletes yang I invite, the final question I ask, is it worth it, you know? One example, Kumar is one.
Yeah.
Okay, he's one of my training partner dulu lah.
Yeah.
So I asked, is it worth it? For him, same answer as you. The love for the pet and for the sports. I do it because of me. Da, da, da. Okay. Tapi there are certain group of people out there, they want to be appreciated being an athlete, to represent Malaysia. Because I myself, one experience apart from bodybuilding was powerlifting. I told myself, I know I will become Asian number one. I told myself. And my expectation, if I win, I want people to appreciate me. At least say, hey, Cam, represent Malaysia, Asia Pacific title. Let us have more athlete like Cam.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
At the end, after winning that, nothing happened. That's when I quit.
Oh.
Like, literally, you won, nothing happened. Like, then what's the point of me training so hard to inspire people? Okay. So that was my personal story.
Yeah.
And my personal story. But for you, I know, how old are you again?
29.
Bro, it's only 29. Most bodybuilders compete until like 38, 39, but 10 more years.
That's right. Yeah.
So I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
You have good future lah in the sport.
Thank you, inshallah. Yeah.
Okay, before we end, best advice. Best advice to those people out there that want to start their journey in men's physique or bodybuilding. What would you advise to them before they start their journey in competitive sports?
Well, basically, before you guys want to start to compete, you have to ask yourself, what is the intention of it? Do you do this because you want to impress someone, or you do this because you love the sport, or you do this because of trend? So first thing first, you ask yourself, your inner self, that, okay, what is the intention? So from the intention, it will show that, okay, my hard work, back to you when you said, was it worth it, you know? So every single steps that you do in life, you need to know what is the intention. So that's number one. You need to ask your intention. Number two is, do you love the sports, you know, or you just do it because I like to, you know, to be popular or to famous. So number three is, do not listen to people advice just because he or she is your friend, he or she won the competition.
Define that.
For example, there's a lot of advice out there like, okay, bro, makan chicken breast dengan broccoli je, no carbs. So you don't know what works for you, you know? So you need to know what works well for yourself. So that's actually the main point. Yeah. And the next is, I would say, try to avoid, like you say, wrong crowd. Yeah. So that's my advice, actually. Be in the right crowd to support you, for you to go further. Yeah.
I'm going
to
add on. Bila you nak become a competitive athlete, means you want to win lah. Nobody participate in competition just to lose. Fair. They want to win at least third place, fifth place, whatever number. Make sure you have someone guiding you. Preferably coach.
Yeah.
He is a good example. According to his cerita dan faham dah. Try and error. I did that also. You try and error, I think that code. At the end of the day, when you have someone guiding you, a coach, the process will be easier. Kita payah pecah kepala. I think this book, that work. Your coach will know what works for you.
Yeah.
He or she have enough experience to guide you. So kepada mereka yang nak cari coach around Iri Damansara, around Mon Kiara.
Thank you, yeah.
Carilah dia.
That's one of the points that I forgot, actually. I missed. To hire a proper coach, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Make sure you have someone guiding you. Because nothing wrong, you want to do it yourself. But the process of you learning from your mistake takes a lot of time. Even his story, it took him a year to win a competition versus 3 to 4 years to learn the mistake.
Yeah.
So mistakes takes a lot of time.
That's true.
So having said that, bro, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for everything.
No problem. And I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Peace out.